Good morning. So our reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 1, and you can find that on page 216 of the Church Bibles. So that's Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jeremy. So, some of you will be familiar with the book of Joshua, and I suspect many of us won't be so familiar with it. Please can I just commend to you the reading plan that Richard produced. It really will help you follow along. There is some really useful introductory historical bits at the back of the guide as well. So there's a few of these left at the back of church. Please do make sure you get a copy of those, because we can't cover everything in these sermons. One commentator put it like this: when you're reading Joshua, it feels like you're drinking water from a fire hydrant. I thought that was quite a good comment. As it comes at you in great waves of stories after stories with tides of questions. Well, what about this? Or what about that? What is God like, really? Is he really like this or like that? And we can't address all of those in one go. It's going to take us time to think about some of those. So hold your questions. But before we delve in, we better ask God for help. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are reminded that all Scripture is God-breathed And it is useful for training us in righteousness, for rebuking, correcting us, and encouraging us. And we pray that it would do that this morning as we encounter you through your living word now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So please do keep your Bibles open at page 216 at Joshua chapter 1. And imagine for a moment that you are part of it. You've been part of a church family for a long time, maybe 10 years. Who's been here 10 years? Who's been here 40 years? There are a few hands going up. 40 years, bear that in mind. You've seen ups and downs in the life of the church. You've experienced great times of growth, but also you've seen hardship and seen some disappointments. The minister has been there the whole time. Imagine that. Imagine me for 40 years. No, don't imagine that. But they've been a faithful leader. They arrived fresh-faced. You've seen his family raised. You've seen him bury his parents. Week after week, he's been faithful to the gospel. He's tried to lead in truth with grace and wisdom, and of course not perfectly, but has always tried to care pastorally for everyone. But now he's gone. Imagine what you might feel like. But imagine you're in that church and he's gone and uncertainty enters in. It's a deeply unsettling time, isn't it? For everybody. The one who has been leading, the familiar face, has gone. What do they need to know? What do they need to know? Well, the answer comes in this passage. You know, it cannot be overstated. Joshua chapter 1 is a colossal moment of change. God's people are facing a world without Moses. Remember what Moses had done. God had raised him up and delivered through him the people from slavery in Egypt. He'd spoken directly to him, given him the Ten Commandments, the law. He had led them through the wilderness, and they stand now on the brink of the promised land. And that is where we're picking up this story. There's a lot of history to think about. But finally, they could see the land. And then the unthinkable happens, so to speak. Moses dies. What did they need when there's a land to inherit, when there's a great river to cross, when there are battles to be fought? What is needed at that moment is Joshua chapter 1. What do we need today when there is much anxiety and uncertainty in our world, when everything seems unstable and the old certainties have evaporated? We need Joshua chapter 1. What do we need as a church? When there's a vision to be implemented, when there are pathways of renewal to be walked, I hope that's familiar to those who've been here a while, when we stand on the brink of wondering what it might mean for us, at that moment we need Joshua chapter 1. Three things for us to think about. Hopefully they'll come up on the screen at some point. Three things. You might need to flick through them a little bit for us, Richard. The first thing is that when everything changes, God's promises don't. Think about, look at verse 1 with me. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. They must have been fearful. They must have been tremendously frightened about what was going to happen. They'd only known Moses' leadership. No one had really seen the promised land that they were about to go into. There must have been full of what ifs. You know, the what if this happens? What if that happens? What if we don't have this? What if this doesn't happen? You know, the kind of thinking that you get into when there's so much uncertainty. And the Lord knows that, and he acknowledges Moses is dead. He repeats it 11 times in the passage. But he wants them to know that my promise is bigger than Moses. My promise is bigger than Moses. And that's, in a sense, a big message of this chapter. It's the faithfulness of God. He will keep his promises. He will give you a land. He says that in verse 2, verse 3, verse 6, verse 11, verse 13, verse 15. You can look at them. I will do this, he keeps telling them. I will give it to you. And I can tell you now, not to spoil the story, but it is a promise that is kept in chapter 21. Don't look it up, I'll just read it to you. In chapter 1, verse 43, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." What's this saying? It's saying that the promises of God are much bigger than any one man or woman. And that's very important for us to remember, isn't it? God's kingdom doesn't depend on personalities. His kingdom depends on his promises. We get so wrapped up, I think, in celebrity culture, don't we? It impinges even on us as a church. What we need is a big charismatic figure to lead us, to lead our nation, to lead our church. No. You need God's promises. And the warning is for us not to make an idol out of God's servants. Don't place your trust in them. Place your trust in the promises of God. They're the things that will last. And we know that they will last because the one who fulfills all these promises, as we will begin to see and hear over the weeks and months, is the Lord Jesus, the greater Moses, the greater Joshua, the one who defeated death, who has helped us cross into the promised land, hasn't he? Who reigns at the right hand of God, our Father, who will return and bring a new creation, a new promised land, a land that we can enjoy perfectly. And the Lord has done that. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? As we face these uncertain times. I hope that comforts you, because these are uncertain times. Whether it's from looking at world events, or whether it's looking at your own life, maybe, you know, you no longer have a job, or the uncertainties within a church context. Great leaders come and go. Great leaders will make mistakes. Moses did, but the faithfulness of God never fails. That's a massive thing, isn't it? That should be reassuring. I'm reassured by that. As a leader, everything may be changing for you. Everything had changed for God's people at this point, on the edge of the promised land, but God's promises don't change. And it will be the same for you. It will be the same for me. That's the first thing to remember. Hold on to it, it's precious. Second thing, when everything changes, God's presence remains. Look at the second half of verse 5. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land." Verse 9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Can you imagine the impact that must have had on Joshua to hear that? Surely that would have put steel in his spine. for crossing the Jordan, for taking Jericho and all the land that lays ahead of him. God promises to be with him. God promises his presence. And so he tells him he can be strong and he can be courageous. And he says that three times. You know, sometimes we think that we're being asked to kind of stir up within ourselves a kind of grit your teeth faith. Do you ever feel that? Sometimes I think that. A grit your teeth faith. A kind of run into battle. A kind of heroic masochism. No. You see, Joshua is only strong, he is only courageous because God is with him. And God promises to be with us too. He promises to be with all his people. These words, again, must have been a massive encouragement and comfort. You know, a monumental task lay ahead of them, didn't it? An inheritance to claim, a battle to be fought. They must have thought to themselves, you know, maybe now without Moses, really, can we do this? Really? I don't know. Maybe. And the message comes back, yes, we can. I'm sure that was an election thing by somebody. I don't know who it was. Somebody will tell me afterwards. Yes, we can. You can tell me afterwards. I can't remember what party it was or anything, but it's a good message here, isn't it? Yes, you can. Yes, we can. You know, we're thinking about how we can implement the vision. I hope that that's clear over these last 12 months. We're thinking about that. There are some big things on the horizon. We've mentioned the memorial hall down the road, but there's other things. If God calls us to do these things, if he is with us, then nothing is impossible, is it? Nothing can stop him. Doesn't mean it will be easy. Doesn't mean it will be straightforward. But he will be with us. The task to go in the promised land was seen as an impossible task by some. At least the previous generation thought that, and they wandered around the desert for 40 years. Even Moses refused to go in. But what now? Will they go on? Will they go in? That's the title of today's sermon. Will they go on? Will they go in? And so God reminds them of his presence that will never leave them nor forsake them. And we need to hear that again and again. That is something that we doubt. After all, think about it. This is the God who parted the Red Sea. This is the God who shuts the mouths of lions. This is the God who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. This is no small God, is it? This is the God of all creation. He is with us. You know, I was thinking about that, and I wondered whether you caught any of the reactions of the astronauts as they came back from their trip to the moon. Reed Wiseman said this. When he came back, he said, I'm not really a religious person, but there was just no other avenue for me to explain anything. So I just asked for the Navy chaplain to come and visit us. When that man walked in, I never met him before in my life, but I saw the cross on his collar and I just broke down in tears. It's very hard to fully grasp what we just went through. The sun eclipsed behind the moon. I turned to Victor and I said, I don't think humanity has evolved to the point of being able to comprehend what we're looking at right now because it was otherworldly and it was amazing. It was amazing. Our creation is amazing. Our universe is amazing because we have an amazing God behind it all. Joshua and God's people can be strong and courageous because the God of the universe is with us. And he is amazing. We need to hear how amazing he is. It's a bit like, I know this is not a perfect analogy, but it's a bit like you've been told to go into the boxing ring and you've never boxed in your life before. You're full of fears and anxieties. But to your great delight, you not only have the reigning world champion right next to you, but the one who created the sport in the first place. Your fears go, and you know you can do this. You're confident that if the Lord is with you, nothing can be against you. Now, I know that you might listen to that and you might say, well, that's all very well for Joshua and the people of God then, but what about 21st century London? What about us now? What about what happened later? Well, Hebrews 13, if you look at the end of Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says something very similar. The writer says, keep your lives free from love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And we need to hear that. There is nothing more essential, is there? For us to hear again and again, I will be with you, whatever the circumstances of our lives. I don't know, you may be faced with real hardships, with real difficulties as individuals. I don't know what they might be for you. You might be facing a really difficult diagnosis. You might be facing problems at work. You might have financial worries. You might, be struggling with a relationship. Perhaps some of you are burdened in many ways. You know, there will be real times as a church where we will face challenges. Maybe it comes from the breakdown of the Church of England. I pray it doesn't, but it may happen as it moves from biblical truth. There may be real battles to be fought. We don't know how things will go. None of us know the future, and we can be full of fear. But no matter what comes, no matter what, these words come rushing into us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Mark it, underline it, reread it. Now, notice here as well that God's presence is what it's tied up with. And this is important. It's inseparable from careful obedience to God's word, isn't it? So you see that in verse 7, don't you? Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the left to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You see how important that is. Careful, constant absorbing of the word of God leads to obedience, to faithful following. We can't, you see, expect to experience God's presence if we're ignoring his ways, we're turning our back on what he says. We need to know the scriptures. Now, I know that some of you have been reading the Bible for years and years. But some of you I know have only just started. And it's really hard at the beginning. It's really confusing. It takes time, doesn't it, to get a handle on and to gain understanding what's it about. And I would just encourage you to keep going, persist. And there are loads of things that can help you. There are loads of apps and ideas. There are different things we can provide you with. Be part of a small group that you can do it together. Learn together. Don't be put off. This is the most amazing book that speaks life and truth to us. So, secondly, when everything changes, God's presence remains. But thirdly and finally, when everything changes, we need to stick together. And I think this is the hardest bit. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land. Now, notice in the next few verses from 12 to 14, he gives specific instructions to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Remember, there were 12 tribes, and he's talking about 2.5 of the tribes here. What's going on? Well, to give you a very cut down version, you can look at it and read about it in Numbers 32. It's a good place to go. These tribes asked Moses if they could take the land east of the Jordan as their inheritance. In other words, not go into the promised land and settle there. They were going to go stay east. And the problem was that the land of Canaan was west of the Jordan. That was the promised land given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so a deal was struck. Moses agreed those tribes would take the land in the east only if they assisted the rest of the tribes, the 9.5 tribes, in gaining the inheritance west. And then they could return afterwards. And Joshua remembers the agreement that was made. And now imagine that you're one of those tribes, those 2.5 tribes. Imagine that for a moment. It's tempting, that's not even a word. It's tempting to say, isn't it? Well, we've arrived in our land. Our families are getting settled. Do we really want to go west and fight? I'd rather just get on with life here. That's not our problem. But look what they do. Verse 16, they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will fully obey you. They aligned themselves, didn't they? They aligned themselves with the whole people of God together. They were willing to send their fighting men and join the battle. They aligned themselves together in unity. And only in chapter 22, again, spoil the story, do we read of them returning. And this is such a key moment, isn't it, really, if you think about it? This is a massive moment of change. Would these 2.5 tribes go, or would they stay? And the answer comes back, no, we will go with you. I don't think we can overstate this. This is so important for us as a church. Let me remind you of our tagline as a church, unless anyone knows it. There's always a muted response, don't worry. Together following Jesus, together making disciples. Together. We collectively do this together. We follow Jesus together in this endeavor. This isn't Eddie's. This isn't the Leaders' Council or the PCC. This is our vision. When hardship, uncertainty, difficult times come, we have the promises, we have the presence of God, yet we must stand together, united, not going off to our own plan, furrowing our own ground. Rather, we are to care more about the overall health of the whole body, caring about the whole church more than our own individual desires or even our own individual small groups or our own individual ministries that we might have. Now, I think that's going to be really hard for us. Because we are so used to being autonomous, claiming our rights, doing our own things. I've debated whether to say this all week. One of my disappointments, and I only say this because I've asked the Lord about this. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I don't even know who it was. And if it's you, you can come and talk to me afterwards. They said to me, Eddie, our small group have decided we're not going to do the Joshua series in our small groups. And you know, my heart sank. And not because it's about me, but because I feel that the Joshua has much to say to us as a church about implementing the vision. And don't we together want to do that together and see that together? These tribes, they could have waved goodbye, couldn't they? Looked after their own interests, closed in on themselves, but they saw the importance of sticking together. God hasn't given us his promises and his presence so we can be, well, kind of feather our own nest and go our own ways. No, he's given them so we might serve the greater cause. Imagine for a moment just how encouraging it must have been for the other 9.5 tribes as they prepared to cross the Jordan. You know, you can imagine one saying to the other, you know, look, is that Reu? Is that Gad? Is that Manny? Hopefully you get where I'm going. On the horizon. Oh, so good to see you guys. I'm so pleased and so encouraged that you are going with us on this journey together. How encouraging would that have been for them to know? It's so good you're coming with us. Praise God for your partnership. That has a lot to say to us, I think. Because, you know, I think we, and I say this to myself, I just think we've absorbed so much the prevailing culture of our time, which is radical individualism. Everyone out for themselves. I get to decide what I do and what I invest in. And we all do that. The church is called actually to be distinctively different, to stand together and to serve one another faithfully under God. Even if it's hard, even if at times it doesn't even make any sense to you. I'm not saying it needs to be blind faith. Of course not. But there's a sense where there's nothing in it for me. You know, it was such a delight over Easter to see us serving each other when we did the Eggs on Legs. And we had this building full of people coming in, and it was just lovely to see everyone serving together. It gave me a real sense that showed me that God is with us. He's not abandoned us, he is with us. And so there we have it, Joshua chapter 1. He draws us together, united around our great goal, I believe, our vision, together, following Jesus, together making disciples, together seeking the lost, so many others can come to know the love of God for themselves and to walk in repentance and faith. And by ourselves, that vision will be overwhelming. It will be. But together, we will be able to go in and we will be able to go on. I very much believe that to be true. I hope you believe that to be true this morning. When everything changes, Joshua chapter 1, when everything is changing, God's promises don't. God's presence remains. And we will do it all together. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Maybe the band would like to come up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this beginning of this series. And we do pray that you will continue to speak to us through it individually, but collectively, together. That you'll help us to see your promises are true and remain. We thank you that your presence remains with us. And we pray that you'll help us to see that we are to do it together. We know that that's not easy, but we pray that you'll go ahead of us in this time of implementing the vision. Please go ahead of us, provide, keep us focused on you, on the Lord Jesus, in the knowledge that you are with us now and always. Amen.